It's good to see each one of you here this morning. It's been a good day where we can come together and worship God according to His Word. And that's what we want to do, is we want to worship God according to His Word, not according to what some man might say or what according to something that we've heard somewhere, but from the Word of God. I'm up here this morning as an elder, one of the elders of this church. I believe that it is necessary because of some of the things that have gone on, and recently an email that was sent out and some phone calls that were made to individuals. The email that was sent out has some truth in it. It has some things that are not true. And it has some things that were said in a deceitful way to make you think that there are some things that the elders are trying to stand for that are not true. It is my belief, from what's been said to me by these individuals, the purpose of this email is to tell you why they're where they are, but it's also to create distrust, to create doubt in the leadership of this congregation. We've had this study for over a year with these individuals, many, many hours, lots of things going on. As a result of one of the first studies that we had, Charles and I put together an email, a list of scriptures on what Scripture says about the matter of worshiping the Holy Spirit and who God is. In our list of scriptures, we don't say one word. Scripture speaks for itself. You don't need to hear what I think. I will never ask you to believe something because I believe it. What I ask you to do is believe what Scripture says, and not have the arrogance and the audacity to think that you're wiser than God and that you can change Scripture and say, well, I know that's what it says, but that's not what it means. Turn with me to John chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Verse 44 says, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? The reason that I read this scripture to start with is one of the results came from demanding that we have to worship the Holy Spirit. We got into the discussion of the Godhead. And I will say that what's being taught by these brethren, I've done a great deal of research on it. And if you look up the doctrine that the Catholic Church promotes, it's called the worship of the Holy Trinity. And the basis of that is that Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit are all the one God. They are the God. And it leads to taking some of these scriptures and not accepting them. But what I want you to know from today is because of the problems, and they do come in the church periodically, we read it all throughout the letters. We read of the divisions and the false teachings and all those things that happen all throughout Scripture. The The book of Revelation starts with the statements and stuff to the seven churches, and we see all the different things that were going on. Man and his reasoning, and Scripture warns us about it, it's not good. I can't live by my own reasoning, but I can live by the Word of God and accept it. And so, that's what I need to do. As an elder, the reason I feel like it was necessary to get up here today, and Charles will be getting up here after I am, is you need to have confidence in the things that we do and where we stand, and that what we believe, we want to do what the Word of God says. We have this printout, and it's just Scripture. I would encourage each one of you, if you want to know what I believe and you want to know what Charles believes, you pull that script, that sheet of paper. We'll give them to you. We have printouts. We've provided them. All you have to do is read it. I don't have to say a word. You want to come to me and address me like an attorney would address me to try to get me entrapped into saying something then that you can misrepresent and say things that I didn't say, you're not going to be successful. Because these scriptures, straightforward, plain, they're straight from the Bible, and haven't added a single word to it. We studied in Romans a few weeks ago, and in the book of Romans, chapter 16, verse 17, says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." So we need to be obedient to what God says, and we need to be aware of things that are said. Anytime that people approach you, and I call it through the back door, to try to give you doubts and cause you to have problems, it's about themselves. It's not about you. If you look at their email, the consistency in it and what they have to say when you talk to them is, "This is what I believe." You know, we're not going to get to heaven on what a man believes. We're going to heaven on what Scripture says. John 12, verse 49, says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, and what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." When man has the audacity to read a scripture, and because he believes a certain thing that may or may not be true, he has the arrogance to change that scripture and say, "Well, that's not what that scripture means. Here's what it means." And it's something completely different than what the scripture says. That ought to be a red flag. I have to change my belief to fit the scripture. I don't change the scripture to fit my belief. And there's some hard things. And I want you to know, there's some things in Scripture that if I could change, I'd like to change them. It'd make life a lot easier by my thoughts. But we know that God has designed and given us everything we need for our life as a Christian to be the best that it can be. All we have to do is listen to Him. We've been studying in Jeremiah over and over again. God says, if you'll just hear my voice. But they don't listen to his voice. They listen to the false prophets. They listen to won't listen to the prophet that God sent. But he says, just if you'll just hear my voice, all these problems, all these things will go away. Don't listen to the voice of a man. I don't care who he is. If he's telling you something contrary to Scripture. One of the things that we've asked for in the worship of the Holy Spirit is give us one Scripture. One Scripture. Where it's done, where it's authorized, an example. Not one. But they will tell you, even though there's nothing in Scripture, we believe this is what we need to do. And it's all based on that. And so, were the apostles saved? We see nothing where they taught or worshiped the Holy Spirit. Were they saved? We know the answer to that. We know the answer that Scripture shows us with these apostles that established doctrine. Paul warns us, if you teach any other doctrine, even if you're an angel from heaven, you teach any other doctrine than that what we presented, let him be accursed. I say again, let him be accursed. It's just plain and really that ought to be fearful. We want to follow God's word. The reason I'm up here today is to give you confidence in us, to help you with that, to be assured where we stand, and that we will follow the Scripture. We've been criticized because we have not allowed them to get up here and teach on the doctrine that they have. My responsibility and charge given to me as an elder is to convict the gainsayer, not to let him preach his doctrine. It has nothing to do with me. I'm nobody. It has to do with God, His Son, the honor and glory and respect we give to Him, and our faith and belief and knowing that His Word is true. Jesus said that we'll be judged by the words that He has spoken. We're not going to be judged by some man's word. I don't care if he's the Pope. We're not going to be judged by that. Well, we might be judged by it if we follow it, but it won't be good. We're going to be judged by the words from our Father in heaven, who gave us those words through His Son, through His apostles, the Holy Spirit, that they provided these things that we can have confidence in. You know, it's very simple. It's not hard to take the Word of God and leave myself out of it and understand it. I don't have to be a Greek scholar. I've had this discussion with Charles many times and many other people. I don't have to know a word of Greek. I don't have to know what the Latin or Hebrew or Hindu or anything else says. Over the years, with the studies and things that have shown on, we know we have good translations. And I have confidence in God that He is going to keep His Word intact. If I can't have that, how can I have hope? That is my hope. John 7, verses 16 and 17 says, Jesus answered and said, my doctrine is not mine, but His who sent me. If anyone wills to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. This is a very important text, because they will tell you that Jesus is God Himself. Jesus is the Son of God. God sent Him, and He's doing His work through Him. Jesus admits that. He tells us that He could do anything except by the authority of His Father. We have to understand what Scripture tells us and accept it. We can't change it in order to accomplish something that we want to accomplish. I want to do something that's contrary to God's will, no matter how I go about it, I'm going to be wrong. And if words and explanations and things that sound good, and, you know, reasoning a man, it sounds reasonable. I think you might be right. No, you're not. You know why you're not? Same reason I wouldn't be, because Scripture says something different. That's all there is to it. We can have confidence in Scripture to know that the things that are said here, if we follow it, we can go to heaven. There was an old preacher, and he used to have a list up on his lessons, and he would say, "This can't be right, so it must be wrong." Then have another one say, "This might be right, but it might be wrong." And then he'd say, "This can't be wrong, so it must be right, and that's where we want to be." It's not a guessing game. God's promised us. He's provided us everything we need in His Scripture. All we have to do is follow it. The doctrine that Jesus has presented and through Him, Himself, and His apostles came from God. Acts chapter 5, in verse 22. I don't have the right text written down. Acts 2, verse 22. It says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." The work that Jesus did on this earth was from God. God accomplished His will through His Son. And we're taught that over and over in many scriptures. And I'm just touching on a few things here to show you that some of these things that have been presented, some of these things these group of men and are promoting, totally contrary to what God says. Acts 10, verse 38 said, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." I will tell you that when you read this scripture to these people, they will tell you that God did not anoint Jesus with power or the Holy Spirit, that it was His own power. That's just an example. One place, there's many, but this is just one example that they will tell you. They deny Scripture. So we have to be careful about these things. John chapter 3, verses 34 and 35. "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure to him. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand." So the things that Jesus had, God gave them to him down. When he was on this earth, God gave them to him. And the things that Jesus did, he did on behalf of God. John 5, verse 19, Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." So he can't do anything of himself. Some of these scriptures we're reading because as a result of the study, the Godhead came up, and the positions that they take on some of it are not in accordance with God's word. Jesus acted on his own because he's God himself, is what they say. That's the attitude and the position that they take on it. Now, they will not tell you that it's God manifesting himself in three persons, but they will tell you that Jesus God and the Holy Spirit are the one God. There's a little bit of difference on what they do, and they will tell you they can't explain how that is, but that's the way it is. And so you get into situations like that, and you base your belief on that, and you base your faith and the things that you decide to do, that's all man's reasoning and man's doctrine. We need to put our confidence in the Word of God. And it's plain enough. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And this is another scripture that I want to just use as an example of some of the studies. A statement will be made, Jesus was not tempted. Because we don't know what the word tempt means. They'll tell you that he's God, he cannot be tempted by sin. That would make him a sinner. And that can't happen. It's not what Scripture says. But I would ask you just to think on the reasoning a little bit. Do we sin when we're tempted? Or do we sin when we give in to temptation? That's what the Scripture says. But he says we're tempted. Scripture says he was tempted in all points as man. We can have confidence in him. And we can have confidence that Jesus understands where we're at. Jesus and his apostles teach us that our worship is to be to God through Jesus. That's what the Scripture says. Don't be fooled. And don't be led astray. I'm not going to get in personal battles with people because what I think really doesn't matter. If I read Scripture and you provide Scripture to me, we can come to an agreement. But if you're going to change Scripture, or I'm going to change Scripture, we can't come to an agreement. Because as a man, if you can take Scripture and change it, I got the same right to the same ability. I'm in the same position to do the same thing too. Why do you think there's 20,000 different religious groups in the world, and I'm just throwing that number out because I have no clue how many there are. All I'm saying is there's a great number, and it's all disagreements, and it's all because man comes up with his own ways, and people like it. So they follow it. Why? Because it's easy most of the time. You know, you go down there to Joel Osteen, and I'll tell you what, when you leave there, and I'm going to say this facetiously, but if you're not real intelligent, you'll feel real good. But you have to be pretty unintelligent to think that a feel-good message that has nothing to do with what it takes to be right with God is going to make you good. You're deceiving yourself. It can't happen. And it's no different here in this case. I would urge you, brethren, to be very careful about those who reach out to you. And I'm going to name two names right now because they're very aggressive. Ryan and Catherine Harmon are very aggressive. And if they can grab a hold of you and make you come their way, they're going to do it. And they're going to do it on purpose. And they're striving to create problems. It's not by accident. They have an issue with the elders here. And they're being very aggressive about it. And if they can create discord and get you to believe that we don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that we have problems with things when it comes to these matters, you lose confidence and faith in us and you become disturbed, and then it's a problem. Brethren, we don't want false doctrine to be taught, and we're not going to allow it. We can study. If you don't have a copy of the papers or the information and the scriptures, we will be glad to give it to you. I will plead with you, if you have any questions or doubts or problems, come to us and talk to us. We only want what's right. We want to go to heaven. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing, putting up what I'm putting up with at times, if I didn't want to go to heaven and didn't want you to go to heaven too. And I don't mean that in an ugly way. I don't know how else to say it. It's got to be blunt. We want to go to heaven. That's all. I'm nothing. Charles is nothing. God's word is everything. And that's what we want to follow. You can have confidence in us. If you have questions, please come talk to us. We will provide you with scripture and information. And then with that, you can know where we're at. We put those scriptures out without saying a word, so you will know this is what I believe. I can't say it any plainer. It's God's word with no man's intervention. You won't find that in what they put out. But you'll find it in what we put out. What you'll find in what they put out is they'll put a scripture down, and then a lot of these scriptures, they'll say, well, this is not what this means, and here's why. That's denying the scriptures, what that's doing. You can't make it that way. We want peace. We want unity. We want growth. I hope that this gives you encouragement. I don't want to be a discouragement, but I hope gives you confidence and encourages you to stand for the truth. And to know that we're going to stand for the truth. And that's what it's about. Troubles come in churches from time to time, and we have to deal with them. That's why there's elders. I appreciate y'all being here. I appreciate you listening. I'm going to turn this over to Charles. And he can say what he has to say. And I thank y'all very much for being here. There's a great many of you that have been a great deal of encouragement. Stand firm. Let's stand firm for the gospel. Let's be the shining light and the example for truth. Honor God. Give Him the glory. Thank you.
I appreciate your kind patience. I'm going to try not to speak as long as Ronnie did. But I wholeheartedly agree with everything he said. Miss that at all. In 2 John chapter 9, 2 John verse 9, we find a passage of scripture which reads, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. Do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Clearly, there is the teaching of Christ that all of us must abide in. We have to hold to the teaching of Christ. When this conversation began about a year ago, I said at that point we have to abide in the teaching of Christ. Well, what did Jesus tell us? I turned to the Gospel of John chapter 4, where Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well where she was drawing water. And in verse 20, she asks, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. That's actually a question. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. For me, that was the end of the discussion, frankly, because this is what Jesus said. We're supposed to worship the Father. And yet, we have heard men tell us that we don't see a command, example, or inference in Scripture for worshiping the Holy Spirit, but we believe that it's still due to him, that he needs to be worshiped. We can't find the authority for that in Scripture. We have to abide in the doctrine of Christ. Scripture also says we have to abide in the teaching of the apostles. Ronnie mentioned that just a moment ago, looking at Galatians chapter 1. Let him be accursed if he's not going to stand in this teaching that the apostles have given. Authority for all things comes from the Father. For all things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, we find a statement that I think attests to some of the misunderstanding that some people have had. I've been asked bluntly, well, then do you believe there's a hierarchy in heaven? I said, yes, because that's what Scripture says. And they were surprised because they have this belief that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all equal in all things. I was told they had a powwow before the creation to figure out who was going to play what role. I said, no, that's not right. Can't be that way. Authority comes from the Father. It always comes from the Father. Look at it here in this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. Jesus teaching once again. Paul is teaching, pardon me. I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. Well, if God is the head of Christ, they're not equal. Can't be. I think they have the same nature, definitely. But the Father is the one who has all the authority. Now, if you're familiar with Scripture, you know that, as Ronnie was even saying, Jesus came to do the will of the Father. And that's repeated multiple places in Scripture. I always do the will of him who sent me, in subjection to the Father. I don't think I always do the will of the Father. I don't think that was just while he was on earth. I think that's the way it's always been. That's why he said always. I'm going to politely say this. I don't like to mention names. Ronnie said the Harmons have a problem with the elders. I disagree, Ronnie. They have a problem with Scripture. We've pointed to Scripture, and they don't like us because we pointed to Scripture. But they have a problem with Scripture. Anytime we have a Scripture that puts a big question mark in our head, we've got to see the need to deal with that Scripture. And there's two choices. We can wrestle with it, understanding that either Scripture is wrong or I'm wrong. There's no other way to deal with that. If I see a contradiction in Scripture, well, either Scripture's wrong or I've got to be wrong in my understanding about something. We've got to look at what Scripture says, and it has to be our authority for all things. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us that there is one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. If he is over all, it means he's over Christ. He's over the Spirit. Certainly there's a hierarchy in heaven. I have always said and continue to say that Jesus is the Son of God. He is deity. He had the nature of God. He lived before the creation. He came to earth as a man, lower than the angels. God resurrected him from the dead and exalted him to his right hand, and he lives eternally from then on with God. He is the Son of God. We need to see the importance of serving the Father. In John 8 and verse 29, I'll try to draw things to a close here for you. In John 8 and verse 29, Jesus said, "He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." It wasn't Jesus' will, it was the Father's will. He always sought to do. Now, we're taught for ourselves in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 10 to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Just as Jesus was striving to please God, we're supposed to work to please God. Arturo spoke a little bit from Romans 6 earlier in our assembly. I'd like to read verse 10 once again. Romans 6 in verse 10, speaking of Christ, it says that the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. That's about him now. After he resurrected, he lives to God. And we must also, that is the whole point of being a Christian, is to please God and to serve him. Peter speaks of this to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, where he says, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him." You and I are welcome to the Father when we fear him and we do what he says is right. He is the authority for what is right. And we have to give attention to all that he has said. If we do that, Jesus speaks of some of the reward in the message in Revelation chapter 2 to the church in Thyatira. That's incorrect, not Thyatira. To the church in Smyrna, I believe it is. I'm going to get my reference right. Sardis. That's where we're going. And then Philadelphia. In Acts chapter Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 2, to Sardis he says, "Wake up and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God." And to Philadelphia in verse 12 of that same chapter, he says, "He who overcomes," that's what we're trying to do, "to he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name." Ronnie is correct. Heaven is the goal. We want to go to heaven. But we have to serve God in the way that he tells us to serve him. We have to follow the authority that he has given us in this holy, inspired word. It is everything to us. Jesus says in Matthew 28 and verse 18 that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, given to him by the Father when he exalted him. Go therefore, he says, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. If we're going to be the disciple, we have to observe all that Jesus commanded us. And all of that came from the Father. Are you one who has obeyed the things that Jesus commands, even in this passage? Have you been baptized into Christ? Again, in Romans chapter 6, it says we are buried with him in baptism, that we might be raised in newness of life, because we have been forgiven of our sins. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, I urge you to repent of your sin, to confess him before men, and be baptized this morning for the forgiveness of your sin. And then we must work to live righteously from that point forward, obeying the things that God has said about how to walk in this life, that we might be in fellowship with him. If you're a Christian who has recognized sin in your life, I urge you to repent of it, to seek God's forgiveness. Because if we don't do that, then we are a son of disobedience. And we've cut off our fellowship with God by our sin. And heaven will not be our home. These things are very serious. I urge you to contemplate yourself. Take a good look at Scripture. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come now and stand and sing.